Thank you very, very much for those words of welcome. It's good to be with you again tonight here in Machrafel to have the opportunity to come and to minister of God's word. Perhaps we could just bow in a wee word of prayer and we turn to God's word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight. We can come to thee in the Saviour's name. We thank thee, Lord, for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion that we have been singing together. And we thank thee truly tonight that burdens are lifted at Calvary and Jesus Christ is very near. Oh God, we pray again tonight for these homes and families that have been bereft of loved ones. And how we thank thee, Lord, that there's not a throb nor throw that our hearts can know, but Jesus feels it above. We thank thee that he is the great physician, that he is the sympathizing Saviour. And our Father, we pray that these dear families may know the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and give unto them, O God, beauty for ashes. Lord, be with us now in the final minutes of our meeting. Lord, we look to thee. We need thy presence. We need the help of thy spirit. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst bless thy word to every heart. Bring sinners to the Saviour. Bless your people. Restore backsliders, we pray. And we'll be careful to ascribe to thee the praise, the honour, and the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we're turning, please, tonight to the Epistle to the Romans, to Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans and chapter 5. And I was just thinking, it's very warm tonight, and I see the windows are open, and it reminded me one time many years ago I was over preaching in United States of America, and I was preaching for Dr. Maron Giler in Ohio, and he was taking different meetings, and they had booked me in for different services, and we went away into West Virginia. We went away up into the mountains, and we went to this little church, and it didn't have windows. It just had shutters, and when they opened the shutters, then there was no glass. It was just the air blew through. And in the middle of the meeting, when all these shutters were open and it was very, very warm, this big, big bird came flying in. I didn't know whether it was an American eagle or a vulture or a blackbird. I knew it wasn't a sparrow, and it was the size of it. And Maron Giler says to me, "Greenfield, the devil's after you tonight." And never mind the devil, it was a dear brother there. He came in, real hillbilly guy, and he was in the bib and brace, and he got a big broom. He says, "Don't worry, preacher, I'll get it out." And he walloped about the place with a room. I'm telling you, it kept the air circulating. And it took him a while to get the bird out. But there you were, don't want any big blackbirds flying in the night. But don't worry, and we'll send for your man with the broom, and we'll be all right. But it's lovely to be here tonight and have the opportunity to minister in the gospel. Now, Romans chapter 5, the great chapter, we're just going to read the opening verses down to verse 11. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Perhaps the Epistle to the Romans is one of the greatest epistles in the Bible to explain to men and women God's way of salvation. We want to talk to people about creation. We turn them, of course, to the opening book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and give to them there the record of our faithful Creator God and how He formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But as you know, as the Word of God tells us, man became a fallen soul. And there was the fall, and not only about man's ruination, but we read about man's creation and his ruination. And then the book of Exodus speaks about man's redemption and teaches us the way of salvation through the precious blood that would be shed, the blood of the Lamb. But men and women need to be saved. Everyone needs to be saved. Whether we're rich or poor, Protestant or Catholic, illiterate or educated, there is a common ground here, because all have sinned, Paul says in Romans, and come short of the glory of God. And everyone needs to be saved. And thank God tonight, you can be saved. The old gospel chorus says there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is opened and you may go in. It's at Calvary's cross. That's where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. And in the book of Romans, you'll find these great truths are stressed by the Apostle Paul. And that's why he can say the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. All men and women need to be saved. And thank God we can be saved. And Paul says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you want to be saved, everyone who is saved the same way. There's not one way for the rich and one way for the poor. There's not one way for the educated and one way for the illiterate. There's not one way for the Protestant and one way for the Roman Catholic. Jesus said, I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the apostles preached and they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone can be saved. Everyone must be saved the same way. And thank God, men and women can know that they are saved. The Apostle John writes and he says, these things I have written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life. So as we look for a moment or two at this fifth chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, I want to draw two particular verses to your attention. Beautiful verses. Verse 6, where the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And then verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I believe that as you ponder those two texts of Holy Scripture, you will find three specific truths. There are many, many more truths, but three things that help us when we speak about God's salvation. I want you to notice, first of all, what I have called the enormity of our sin. The Bible says here in verse 6, we were without strength. It says Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners. You know, we live in an age when even the very teaching of the doctrine of sin is mocked by the world in which we live. And so many people would try, and their worldview and their philosophy is that there's no such thing as sin. And you can live whichever way you please. You can be the master of your own destiny. You can self alone. But the Bible reminds us here, and this is not just our worldview or our philosophy or our take on things, but this is the Word of God, the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant Word of the living God. And God tells us that sin is a serious thing. That's why we have called it the enormity of our sin. Because the Bible says when we were unsaved, when we were in this world, we were without strength. And the Bible says we were ungodly. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I have heard this message and I am going to try from now, and I'm going to reform my life. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to keep the commandments. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to fulfill all the religious ceremonies and rituals that there are to be fulfilled. And so from now until the day I die, I'm going to be a better person. And surely then it will merit me favor with God. But even if it were possible for someone to make that decision and keep the law, what about all the days that have gone past? They were without strength. And as the Epistle to the Ephesians teaches us, they were without Christ and they were without hope. And the Bible reminds us here that we were ungodly. We didn't want God's word. We didn't care for God's day. We didn't care for the people of God. We didn't care for godliness and righteousness and holiness of life. Men and women, when we begin to think about the enormity of our sin, and we preach this morning from Psalm 25, and David prayed, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. And he said, for mine iniquity was great. And if you were to cast your mind back to your youth, you think about the sins that you committed, the sins of thought and word and deed. And perhaps some older folk here tonight think back over their lives and the way they have lived their life. And we recall the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 64 when he said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And beloved, if our righteousnesses, if our good deeds and our good works are as filthy rags, what must our ungodly deeds and our sinful deeds appear before Almighty God? We're without strength. We're ungodly. The Bible says here, we were yet sinners. We were sinners. Many different words are used to describe sinners. One of the words that is used, it means to miss the mark. It's as if an archer came with his bow and his arrow, and he was shooting an arrow at a target, and the arrow missed the target. It may miss it by an inch, it may miss it by a foot, it may miss it by a yard, or 10 yards, or 15 yards, but it missed the mark. And some people say, well, I'm a good person, I'm a good citizen, I do good works, I'm a good churchgoer. I'm a good payer. I give into the church. I give to charity. I do this. I do that. I do the other thing. But friend, if we don't know Christ, we are sinners. We are without strength. We are ungodly. And we have missed the mark. We have missed the mark. And you might say, well, friend, I know so-and-so, and they profess to be a Christian, and my life is every bit as good as their life, and it may well be. But my friend, the Bible does not ask you to compare your life with some believer. Because if you look to a believer, you look to one who's just a sinner saved by grace. You look to the preacher, the preacher's just a sinner saved by grace. But you put your life alongside the perfect, sinless, spotless, flawless, harmless, crimeless, holy life of God's Son. And you'd have to confess the truth that Paul taught in the Epistle to the Romans, that we have fallen short of the glory of God. Then the Bible says here that we were enemies. We were enemies. It's one thing to be without strength and to be ungodly and to be a sinner. But what an awful thing to be found as an enemy of Almighty God. And the Bible goes on here to say that we are saved from wrath. We were saved from wrath. Isn't it a terrible thing to be under the wrath of God? The Bible says in the New Testament scriptures in the Gospel of John chapter 3, the Gospel that has that great verse in it, chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But at the end of that chapter it says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The Bible goes on to teach us that we are under the very wrath of God. Way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Job, the Bible says, because there is wrath, beware. That's why the apostle could say, for the wages of sin is death. The enormity of our sin and our guilt as we stand before a holy God. What a tragedy. Isaiah the prophet painted a picture of the people of Israel, and he said they were like a man who from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, he was covered with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that had not been bound up or mollified with ointment. And Isaiah spoke that word about the people of God, how they had turned away from God in their idolatry and in their sin. He said the whole head is sick, and he was talking about the kings. And he said that the heart is sick. He was talking about the priesthood and the prophets. For there are many false prophets. And he talked about from the head to the feet, to the least among the nation. What was he saying? They were sinners. They were sinners. So the Bible speaks here in these verses that are wonderful verses, that we were ungodly, without strength, and sinners. It speaks about the enormity of our sin. But I want you to notice something else. It speaks about the empathy of our Savior. Because it says, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, beloved, tonight, when there was none to pity or none to spare, when we were under the wrath and the judgment of God, thank God there is a way of salvation that God in the Trinity of His secret persons devised. Way back there in the book of Samuel it says, God hath devised the means whereby His banished could be brought back. Where, as we say in New Testament language here, where we were, who were once enemies, can be reconciled to God through the death of His Son. When God would blot out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us through the blood of His Son. When God would wash away our sin through the blood that was shed on Calvary. But thank God there was one who looked upon us in love and in grace and in mercy. And in the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. And He died on the old rugged cross. God so loved the world. You know, when we think about God's love is immeasurable. God's love is incomparable. And God's love is unconditional. God loves you. And God loves me. And there have been those in this world, and maybe even you may not be saved, but you would say to yourself, well, when you hear the blasphemy of some men, some theologians, some people who say terrible things about the Savior, you hear men taking the Lord's name in vain day by day in the workplace, and you say, well, could God love them? Aren't you glad that He does? That He loved you and He loved me. And even while we were ungodly and without strength and sinners, He loved us. And we have been reconciled to God. We were enemies. But through the death of Christ, the war is over. And thank God the arms of rebellion must be laid down. And God's terms of amnesty must be obeyed. And we must come confessing our sin and crying out, oh God, I am a sinner. And I now repent of my sin. And I turn from my sin. And I come to You and I ask You in Your love and in Your mercy to receive me and to cleanse me in the precious blood. Make me a child of God. We must come. We must come as a sinner to Jesus. And thank God when we come as a sinner to Jesus, we find that the love of Christ that was unconditional and incomparable and inestimable in so many ways, it's an inseparable love. For John says he loved his own. And having loved them, he loved them unto the end. I'm so glad tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. I'm glad that He was not only a great teacher, that He was not only a miracle worker, that He was not only the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, but I'm so glad that when He came into the world, when all we like sheep had gone astray, and we had turned every one to his own way, the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The old gospel hymn says, all our iniquities on Him were laid, and He bore it all to the tree, and Jesus, the debt of my sins fully paid, He gave the ransom for me. Peter, the apostle, says, He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. The old verse says, upon a life I didn't live, and upon a death I could not die. But on another's life and on another's death, I stake my whole eternity. If men and women are depending upon the church, upon baptism, upon church membership, upon any ritual or ceremony devised by men, they'll never make it. But if you're depending, as the old hymn writer says, on the blood, on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. But so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works or their opinions, if they may, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. And we're depending tonight on the one who loved us, and the one who stepped out of the ivory palaces of glory and came into this sin-cursed scene of time and lived a perfect life for us, and then poured out his soul, as the prophet said, unto death, that he, by his death, the righteous servant of God, would justify the many and bring many sons and daughters to glory. Thank God. When we see the enormity of our sin, we also see here the empathy of our Savior. And then we're reminded very simply of the experience of our salvation. Verse 1 opens in chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. As you read down the chapter, you read that we have this peace. And we have in verse 2, the hope of the glory of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And then verse 11 says, not only so, but also we joy in God through our Lord Jesus, by whom we have now received the atonement. We are saved, we are justified fully and freely through the death of our Savior. And we have a joy that Peter called a joy unspeakable and full of. This world thinks it has joy. This world thinks it has joy when it's out in the pleasure dens and the crazy places that it has to offer. And the pleasures of this world are real, but they only last for a season. But at God's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. But there's a deep, settled peace and a real joy that passeth all understanding to be found in Christ. I wonder, do you know that joy? And then we have the hope of the glory of God. We have heaven too. Man was saved on one occasion, and he was so thrilled that God would lift him from the life of sin that he lived. And that a wonderful change, as we were singing, had come about in his heart and life. And he looked at the preacher with tears in his eyes as the preacher told him about a home in heaven. He says, preacher, isn't it wonderful? All this and heaven too. My Jesus said, when you come to the end of life's journey, he said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, the Apostle Peter talked about a great inheritance. An inheritance that was undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and it is reserved in heaven. Who is it reserved for? It is reserved for those who are kept by the power of God through faith. As we often say, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. That's why Amos, the old prophet, in Amos 4 and 12, he preached to the people, he said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
Dear friend, if you were to be called out into God's eternity this night, where would your soul be? I talked to a man some months ago. He was in hospital. He was just a young man. He was in intensive care. I talked to him about being saved. And he said, you know, I don't really care what way it goes, whether I live or whether I die. I tried to share with him that 5 minutes, yea, 1 minute after he died, he would care. And asked him, could I read to him some of these verses in the Epistle to the Romans that explain the way of salvation? And he listened intently. And all he said to me was this. When I asked him, would he not take the sinner's place, pray the sinner's prayer, receive Christ as a Savior? He says, big fellow, think about it. Think about it. And I sincerely hope he did think about it. That was on a Thursday morning. I went back to see him on a Saturday morning. And he had gone into a coma. And some weeks later, I had to officiate at a funeral service. I don't know, did he think about it? Did he trust the Savior? Did he take the sinner's place? Because, you know, he would find salvation. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Bible says, God is not willing that any man or woman should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if any man comes in repentance, by the Lord Jesus Christ will receive him. Friend, will you take him? Will you take him tonight? Will you come? Don't just think about it. Don't just put it off until another time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But come to Christ tonight. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The scripture says, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's bow together, please, in a word of prayer as we bring our service to a close. Just as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, can I say, dear friend, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. If you're concerned about the things of God, say, Fred, I'm not saved. I would like to get right with God. I would like to have my sins forgiven. I would like to know for sure that it's well with my soul. Then, dear friend, don't you leave the meeting. Come, tell us of your need. Let us talk to you in private and show you from God's word, God's way of salvation, how you can be saved, how you can know it, how you can be sure. But don't go away without the Savior. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for all thy goodness to us. We thank thee, Lord, for the message of the gospel and its simplicity. And, O God, we realize the awful tragedy of our sins. But how we thank thee tonight for our Savior, the one who loved us and died for us and rose again for us, the one who stands with outstretched arms, the one who says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. O God, may some dear precious soul tonight swing wide the heart's door, invite the Savior to come in and be their Savior, that they might be saved for time and for eternity. Separate us now with thy blessing. Take us all to our homes in safety and abide with us. We pray now that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, would rest, remain, and abide with us all now until the Savior comes or calls. Amen.